life. Praise God. We're excited. We want the Lord to continue to touch this young man. We put a lot of seed in you, buddy. Amen. We watered and we're ready to see something sprout. And God, just use this man. I'm telling you. Amen. We're blessed tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you lift your hands and thank the Lord for the truth? Amen. Let's thank the Lord tonight for his grace and his truth in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you for your truth tonight, Lord. We love and worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you today, God. Hallelujah. We love and praise you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to be a pastor that feeds his sheep. Amen. And I want to be a shepherd that leads people and teaches people and helps people to grow up in God. What good is coming to church if we leave and don't even know how to live for God and know how to have discern? I want to help this church to grow in the Lord and know his power. And it was ironic today, Brother Coon, when we were talking at lunch. Amen. I appreciate Brother Sister Coon, and they took Sister Crosswhite and I to lunch today for pastoral appreciation. And while I was there, he was talking, and he said, you know, you don't hear personal conviction anymore. People mentioned it. He didn't even know what I was going to teach, amen, and talk about tonight. And you know as well as myself, amen, as a pastor, we have an obligation, amen, sometimes to set a post in, amen, and stretch some wire. And after we've done that, we have a responsibility and an obligation to check that wire and check that post and make sure some things are still there. Amen. We're so thankful tonight for the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to ask, amen, some of our SALT team men to help me that are on the front up here. Amen. If you would like the one with answers, or if you're the person like to fill in the blanks, amen, just let me know. This is the one with the answers. Brother Ashton, would you and Brother Kester divide these up? And if you like the ones where you don't have to worry about filling the blanks, wave at one of these men. And the other ones, amen, Brother Josh and Brother Devin, would you help me with this? This is the ones you fill in the blanks. Amen. If you're a note taker, that'd be the one you want. Amen. And tonight we're going to be talking about holiness. Man. And as a pastor, amen, I'm going to tell you, you can never grow without holiness. Amen. You can never grow without holiness in your life. Amen. So we're going to give you a little time to, amen, to get this. And we're not going to take long because the lesson that I have tonight doesn't take long. It goes right to the point. But I feel that the basics, what we're going to talk about tonight, will help us. Pastor, why don't you teach us on a Thursday night? Well, I don't have everybody on Thursday night. I have people in children's church, people in teen church. Why don't you do it on Sunday morning? Well, Sunday morning I got Sunday school classes going on. So I just feel led tonight to say, hey, we're going to talk about some things. Amen. And as a pastor, what a joy it is to be able to present you to Jesus Christ. Amen. I mentioned this morning the greatest people that I'll ever preach to is those that God put me as to be the shepherd. The greatest messages I will ever preach will come from this pulpit. Amen. Because this is where God's called me to preach. Amen. He called me to lead his people. Amen. So I'm so thankful. And by the way, it's good to have my greatest fan here tonight. Brother Henry, my grandson. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful. 9-month-old Henry, I'm telling you, he was awake all night long. Poor Sister Crosswhite. Amen. Just about when she would start snoring, he would start waking up and crawling over there and checking her out. By the time he got her awake, he'd crawl and wake me up. So here we are. Praise the Lord. But I want to go to 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 15 through 16. You don't have to stand. We normally do because we honor the word of the Lord. But because I'm teaching tonight, I want you to be able to, those of you that have an ink pen to write or to be able to keep up, amen, with notes, whatever. Set that right there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 is written on your page, but I like to look at it in the Bible. Amen. I don't want to ever trust somebody. Amen. Brother Will, always have your sword. Always know the word of the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. The scripture says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your name and I worship you tonight for your beautiful word. Thank you for the grace and the power of your spirit tonight. We love and we bless your name. We praise you today, Jesus. Amen. You know, God demands. It's not a suggestion. Holy, being holy, it's not just God saying, you know, you might need to be holy. The Lord said, be ye holy. There's a demand. And many are literally afraid of the word holy. It's electrifying to some. And have completely withdrawn from the call of holiness. Others associate it with a proud pharisaical pride, and they misidentify the idea altogether. But you know, holiness literally begins to reflect the nature of God. Well, they think of the unscriptural teaching that holiness is a sinless perfection that lowers God's standard to our poor own levels of experience. To others, holiness implies that I live without sin or I can't do nothing. And oh, you know, they make all imbalance of sin. But let me just share with you. Oh, I love it. Holiness is both beautiful and balanced. Amen. When somebody gets God living inside of you, God will take your life that is upside down. Amen. And set your right side up. Holiness is beautiful and balanced. I love watching the Holy Ghost work in somebody. Amen. They walk in ugly, but isn't it beautiful that the word says he will beautify the meek or the obedient with salvation. How beautiful the word of God is. Now, amen, holiness brings that beauty and that balance. Now, the definition of holiness. The word holiness means separation unto God. The resulting state or conduct that is befitting those who have been separated. Purity or integrity of moral character and freedom from sin. Are you thankful today that holiness is not your work, but God's work? Amen. We can't get God by getting good. We get God to get good. And you can never be holy on your own. But the scripture says, be ye holy for I am holy. How do you do that? Well, in order to be holy, you better keep the well of God flowing in your life. You better keep the connection of God in your life. Be ye holy. You got to keep a walk with God. You better keep a talk with God. Amen. His word ought to be a priority. God don't need to be on the outside of your life. God needs to be the very center of your life. Amen. That's where holiness starts, when God is number one in your life. Amen. You can never know the oneness and the truth of God till God is number one. Amen. How beautiful to be one with God. Now, the works of the Holy Ghost brings holiness. When we are immersed in the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, something comes to live within our bodies. From that moment on, God's Spirit begins to work within us and start separating us from sin. Amen. He intends that we be dedicated to himself and separated from the world. When you're dedicated to God and you're separated from the world, something starts happening inside of your life. It don't take long for somebody to grow up in God. It don't take long for the beauty of God to start operating. Amen. Isn't it amazing when the light of the Holy Ghost is working? Immediately something starts transforming a person. It is kind of like somebody that never had electricity at all in their house. And for the first time they get all wired up, and all of a sudden the electrical company comes on and said, okay, we're ready. And they move the switch. And when the Holy Ghost comes into life, God turns the switch. And there is a transformation. Are you thankful tonight and honored, amen, to be part of one that has experienced the power of God's transformation? Woo! And when the lights turn on, not only are you shining, But you're able to start seeing things. And all of a sudden things start, wow, I never realized the colors of life, the beauty of life. I never realized how beautiful life could be. Life is not sour. Living for God is not sour. The next thing you start realize, oh, this right here don't belong here. This don't belong in my life. That's the holiness of God. Amen. Where God starts working, the light starts shining, and the Lord starts helping you. Amen. So you're dedicated to God and separated from the world. Not only does the Holy Ghost give us power over sin, sickness, and the devil, but it actually enables us to be holy as God is holy. Now, holiness is God's personal identification mark. It is the evidence or the fruit that we are his treasure. Oh, I love it. Amen. You know, there's some people think holiness is just an outside deal. But if it was just an outside deal, that would be just a uniform. But holiness was when God comes in. And when he comes in, Jesus on the inside works on the outside. Oh, what a change there'd be in your life. There would be a personal identification, a fruit of Jesus living inside of you. Is evidence. So therefore, watchful, adoring attention is given to those who are not ashamed to be identified with God. And it's amazing, God starts helping you. God starts leading you. There's things that start developing your life. Amen. You start feeling something happening in your life. The King is at work in your soul. Amen. Things start tasting better in your life. Things start smelling better in your life. Things start looking better in your life. And things start feeling better in your life. Oh, what a change he makes inside of us. Hallelujah. Now, we know that holiness is a daily personal pursuance. Separation from the world, acceptance by God is a privilege found only through the work of the Spirit, but a daily relationship with God results in a pursuance of God's desire. All of a sudden, you start abandoning the way you've been thinking, the way you've been living. Your desires, you start, getting away from, and you start pursuing what God desires. You don't, your opinion, you're going to lay it down. What you've always thought, and when people come up to you and say, well, I feel, or I think, or my opinion is, well, you know what? You get to the place where their opinion don't matter anymore. This precious God of heaven, his matter, his opinion matters. In fact, the word of God's going to be right 9 times out of 9. You're going to love the word of God. As you grow with God, you're going to start loving what God does in your life. Amen. You love the things of God because there's a daily pursuance, a daily relationship. God will come in and I'm going to tell you and change the outlook of your life. Faithful obedience to God will affect the disposition and your outlook. A person's character is composed of his nature, temperance, personality, emotions, and attitudes. But holiness does more than just a personality, bubbling personality. I know people that have bubbling personalities that commit suicide. Isn't it crazy? There's been a lot of movie stars, rock singers, entertainers, people that are stars that have no hope in life. They end up committing suicide. Millionaires, billionaires, and comedians. There was a guy that, I can't remember his name, I use him a lot in the jail, Robin Williams, his name came to me, who was a comedian. Now, I've just seen pictures of this man, but I've had people say, man, this guy, when I used to watch TV and watch movies, this guy could make everybody laugh. But Robin Williams did not have the joy of God living in this life. He ended his life quickly because he was a miserable man. I'm thankful today that I got something that is better than gold, something more than riches untold. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the God of heaven in my soul. Praise God. So it's more than personality. Holiness will transform each of us in the areas of our life. Pretty soon our disposition, our nature, all these things are different. Because God has control of our attitudes and our character. So holiness is a walk with God in our life. It's a way of life in Jesus Christ. Now, amen, on that second page, the word sanctification is whenever we're cleaning house, we're moving things out of our life. When things start working in us, the light is turned on, And all of a sudden you realize, wow, I don't feel good about that anymore. That don't please God. And if it don't please God, I'm going to throw these things out. I'm going to take them and they're trash now. And I love it when the Holy Ghost start working. I love it. Amen. When God start working on an individual. Amen. And all my life I watch God work on people that something that they realize, man, nobody had to preach to them. On their own, something start working. That tells me God is in operation. Amen. They're not conforming to a bunch of things and people are telling them, oh, you got to do this. We need teaching. We need guidance. But I love it when the Holy Ghost is at work and the Holy Ghost is guiding a soul. I love it when all of a sudden you don't have to tell them one thing. They say, you know what, honey, all that liquor we've been buying every month, I just feel something, I just feel dirty about it. And they take it, they don't take it to the next door neighbor and say, hey, would y'all like some Bud Light or would you like some Jack Daniels? But they take it to the toilet. They take it to the yard and empty it out. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. If it displeases God, I don't want nobody to have it. That's the work of sanctification. Now, we find that obeying and putting into practice in the following three areas you're going to talk about tonight. There's three areas we're going to talk: scripture teachings, scripture guidelines, and scriptural conviction. But the first one we're going to talk about is scriptural teachings. Now, the Bible clearly gives guidelines which facilitate our separation from the world and accept of God. And there's a list I want to give. There's these five different things that we have, right? A, B, C, D, and E. The first one, it meant your appearance, God begins to work. There's something about the Word of God teaching about our appearance. Bible teaches us to be modest, that there should be modesty. It does teach us us to reject ornamentation. Amen. It also teaches us, amen, to live in moderation of costs. The Bible teaches us that we dress with a distinction between male and female and separation from worldliness. Deuteronomy 22:5 still says, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do are an abomination to God. Things that once were abomination are always an abomination. Mm-hmm. So God starts working on our appearance. That first blank there's the word appearance. Scripture teaching on our appearance. Not only that, but 1 Corinthians says this, be ye followers of me in all things. It talks about a woman and her hair and a man's hair. Do you know the Bible teaches, and I had a guy that, man, he's coming to jail. He's got long hair like a woman. And there's been people that I've taught, and I wait for the right time to say, the Bible says, not me, it is a shame for a man to have long hair. And it's still a shame. And it's a shame for a woman to cut her hair. And that's not mine, but that's God's word. Amen. So when we talk about cutting hair, that means to snip, clip, and a mess and burn it, whatever, to make it shorten. Amen. Ladies, you ought to thank God, amen, for your hair. There's some people's hair can't grow. Some of these ladies have a deficiency in hair growth, and they're very conscious of it. Amen. But if your hair is not growing, if it's short and getting thin, hang on. Amen. You don't have to go and try to hide it. Amen. Your hair before God is still beautiful. Amen. And ladies in this place, amen, you don't have to go to the beautician or somebody that begin to mess with your hair. Amen. You ought to thank God that when you pray, it's a sign of your covering. It's a sign of your submission to the Almighty God. Amen. So your appearance is important to God. Amen. Oh my. And also, the Bible says in 1 Timothy that we don't adorn ourselves. We adorn ourselves with modest apparel. What does modest mean? Modesty, we're not advertising our body the world has used. Amen. The deal now where everything will show different things of the body. And sometimes you could have a dress that's long. You could have clothing that is long, or even a guy, you could have a pair of clothes that is real, a pair of pants, but if it's real tight, And it's so tight that you got to go, oh my. I mean, where it is advertising. Amen. Like somebody said, everything you got and everything you don't have. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen. We're not trying to advertise in a sensual manner our bodies. Our bodies belong to the Almighty God. How important it is, saint of God, to represent the King of Kings. Are you thankful tonight? Oh, his way is so much more beautiful. Amen. Amen. Then it talks also about the rejection of ornamentation. It talks about the wearing of gold. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, there's some churches, they do that. Well, I mean, that's their deal. I want to stick with the book. So I get the question all the time, Pastor, what about jewelry? What about wedding bands? What about these things? Well, let's just answer the wedding band deal. Well, we always go to the Word of God and work from the Word of God to where we're at now. We find that the wedding band had come into play to later on where the Catholic Church began to introduce in about 326 AD, they started introducing a lot of garbage. And the wedding band was something they had taken from the world and they implemented into what they called their church. But we find the Word of God begins to teach against it. Amen. You know what? My wife and I have been married 34 years and I don't need a band to tell me that she's mine or tell the world she's mine. It's the way she conducts herself. Now think with me. If the Bible teaches against gold and ornamentation, I don't care whether it's costume jewelry or plastic or PVC right here. Amen. There's some people, their wedding bands were on their ear. And my argument to modern day Pentecostals is this. If it's wrong here, it ought to be wrong here. I mean, I just had a man that is not a Jesus name Pentecostal. He and I had this discussion. He said, I believe, as he said, all or none. If the Word of God teaches against it, we should have nothing there. That's why I am careful. I don't have brooches. I better not wear a brooch. I don't wear anything that will ornamentation. I'm very careful about it. I'm very careful about ink pen not being so, you know, we're so, you know, attractive and different things like that. There's some people that get all in all that stuff because they want to be seen and want to be noticed. Friend, isn't it wonderful? Amen. Instead of having glitter and glamour and ornamentation, amen, with the Holy Ghost is working in you, amen, God will outshine you, amen, all the different things on the outside when you obey the Holy Ghost. How beautiful it is. Our appearance, how wonderful. Amen. Our appearance is so great. The distinction of male and female, isn't it crazy today? I want you to just realize that these people that are transitioning, they may change certain things to look like whatever. A male will try to look like a female and a female like a male. Isn't it crazy that these men that are changing to look like women, they want to wear dresses? That ought to tell you that dresses belong to women. And isn't it amazing that still the signs on our restrooms still show a woman with a skirt? There is a distinction. And Deuteronomy begins to say that a man should wear that that pertaineth to a woman and a woman to a man. Our ladies just don't wear things that begin to make them look like a man. And definitely, you men, you don't need anything look like a woman. And I want you to say this as a preference as a pastor. I prefer our boys not to wear anything look pink. Because my preference is I don't want them to act like some sissy. Isn't that right, Charlie? I want to keep all the pink devils away. Woo. And I love you ladies. You don't have to act like an old muscle man. Be a lady after God's heart. Stay beautiful in your approach and the simplicity of your life. And that goes for all of us. We don't have to have cosmetics. We don't have to have all this stuff. We don't have, man. And, you know, let's talk about some back in my days. How many of you have ever heard of Tammy Faye Baker? I knew the older generation would knew. Well, Tammy Faye Baker had the big eyelashes. Looked like she had robbed a camel. And somebody said, "Do you know how to say Tammy Faye in sign language?" Oh, like this. We don't have to have that. Our ladies don't have to put on that, and our boys don't have to do that. We don't use makeup. We don't have to have that. We don't have to have the red lips. We don't have to have the eyeliner. We don't have to have the fake fingernails. In fact, our platform, our leadership standard teaches against all this fake stuff. I mean, we don't wear that. We don't do that. Why? Because we want to be as genuine as ever and represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do we do that in a haughty manner that says, "Look how great and better we are than you"? No, that's not what we're after. I mean, we're not here to say, "Look how holy we are and how holy you're not." No, 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 no. We just want to be right in the middle of the bubble, so to speak. We want to be balanced in God. Amen. God, amen, really matters to our life. And we want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it matters what matters to the Lord. So our appearance, is it matters. The next thing, let it be, our attitudes. Woo. Man, I've seen some attitudes. Galatians speaks, the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunken, revelings. And he said, as such like, as I tell you before, he said, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, what? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. No law. I love the way God works. So our attitudes. I've been to churches where they had a stinking attitude. God help us to realize we're just nobodies covered with the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not better than anybody else. And we don't. When people come here and they don't know what we teach and all like that, we're not trying to rub it in their face. I used illustration that you could take a man. Me and Brother Bolton got me hungry too a while ago. You take a big old T-bone. I prefer a ribeye. So me and Brother Henry, I imagine he could tear up a ribeye right now. Ribeye, baked potato and salad, good old rolls with it, brother. And I could set it right here, Brother Henry, and put it right before you. And I mean, it's made just like you like it. And man, we take it right off that grill, and it's still sizzling. And all of a sudden, you sit down, and I take that, and I shove it down your throat. It wouldn't be too good. But you know what I do? I said, man, ribeye, baked potato, salad, all this good stuff. And his precious wife said, he also likes corn on the cob. Boy, I go get me some corn on the cob and put next to it on that plate. I guarantee I don't have to ask him twice. Make him and eat. He's a boy like me, man. He gonna sit down. So the difference is our presentation. Your presentation of why and how you live really matters. Right. Amen. We don't shove holiness and standards down people's face, but oh, we present it and we put that great appeal with it. Hey, this belongs. Our life belongs to Jesus Christ. We do this because of Him. Right. Attitudes. We represent Jesus wherever we go. Whether we're in a restaurant, Walmart, in line somewhere, and somebody in traffic. Oh, my. Amen. Attitudes matter. Amen. You represent Jesus Christ. Holiness will work in your attitude. And we talk about elsewhere. What about here? Attitudes around your brothers and sisters. Attitudes when maybe somebody is just, I mean, they haven't done their best. Some things have happened. They've been busy all week. Well, they didn't take the trash out of them. Brother Josh, where you been? No, we just see a need, we take care of it instead of getting an attitude. Amen. And let me just say this. Amen. There's been a lot of bees a-buzzing the last couple weeks and the last month here at the church with attitudes. And as a shepherd, you better keep your attitude in check, because that represents your relationship with God. I need my brothers and sisters, and you need your brothers and sisters. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to go any further to step on any toes. Amen. The next thing is our thoughts. Your thoughts, the way you've been thinking. Things that come in your mind. You know, it's nothing wrong. Across the screen of your brain is going to come thoughts. And not all those thoughts are going to be pure thoughts. And pure thoughts will come across. It's not a sin when they come across the screen of your brain, but they become sin when you start entertaining them. You start feeding those thoughts. It's kind of like feeding a stray dog. You got a stray cat, a stray dog you feed, and they're going to come back for more. And you better watch out, because pretty soon another dog will see him coming over there, and they want to come too. And be careful the thoughts that you entertain. Holy thinking produces holy living. Anything that would get your thoughts and begin to twist them. There's people that are good at getting in your brain and twisting your thinking. You go to college, there's people in critical thinking that begin to, in the world, remember, there's advertisements all around, that want your thinking and your attention. But our thoughts really matter. Keep your thoughts on Jesus Christ. Amen. Next thing is fellowship. Fellowship. Amen. Christians should not become unequally yoked in marriage or participate with unbelievers in compromising situations. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Now, you're going to have to work with people. You're going to have to go to the store with people. But I don't have to associate myself with things that are compromising. Well, you know, my next door neighbor, every Tuesday or every weekend, he's out there barbecuing, and he's got Bud Lights, and he's drinking and guzzling them down. And I start hanging out there, man, woo! And pretty soon people are going to think I'm drinking with him. So I don't participate in those things because they compromise my testimony. Amen. So my fellowship is very important. People that are always chewing up people. People always that are griping. And people that are always setting everybody else's fields on fire. Amen. I got to watch them. Watch when people start talking about other people. And learn to say, you know, I'm getting out of here. Because pretty soon, they could get you to make one comment. And then they go, say, well, you know, he said it too. Or she said that. Did you hear what Izzy said? Did you hear what Coley said? And there was a song that Sister Crosswhite and them used to sing when she was a young lady. There are no secrets in Pentecostal churches. What you tell to Martha, she'll tell to Mary. With mouths wide open, they'll gossip too. There are no secrets, they'll gossip about you. Bible tells us to put away all gossip, slander. Amen. Holiness. The next thing holiness and sanctification has is scriptural guidelines. Since the Bible does not attempt to catalog every possible sin, the gravity of humankind might possibly conjure, we're given some guidelines to test modern situations that are addressed in the scripture. So the first guideline I want to teach you tonight and talk to you about, you got to have the mastery test. Think with me. It's on your notes right here. The scripture says, all things are lawful for me, but I will be brought under the power of any. I want you to understand, the Bible clearly teaches that Christians ought to be controlled by the Spirit. And when God is in control of your life, He's the Lord of your life, guess what? Amen. God will be in control. God will be in direction and operation in your life. I don't want God just to be the one that just blesses me. I want God to be able the one to talk to me and correct me and teach me and tell me, whoa or go. I want the Lord to tell me no when I need a no. Amen. What about a no from God? Thank God for a no. But I'm thankful also when the Lord says, I love it when the Lord speaks. So, when we're faced with an issue not clearly spelled out in the scripture, we are to ask, will this control me? The dominating nature of drugs, cigarettes, unwholesome entertainment would fail this test. So ask yourself, will this master my relationship? Will it take something to control me? Well, that's the reason why cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, all those things. Ask yourself, will this control me? What about entertainment? What about music? What about Hollywood? What about video? What about music? And what about the things that people are looking at today? Evil motives are pushed into the music today. Brother Zach was with me in the jail, and I got hung up on this a little bit because they have rap music. They love to rap in the jail. Man, I don't like to rap. I like to unwrap. Well, they put filthy words all in that rap music, Charlie. And your mama stole this, and your daddy done this. Your evil brother, and they use all the filthy words. Well, rock and roll, when I was a kid, they had what they called backward masking. They had record players, and they put their rock and roll song, AC/DC, and you could take it and you could spin it backwards. And when you play it backwards, it would say with a subliminal message, Satan is God. Satan, I mean, remember those days. Satan, man, we got all scared when they started doing that. Well, I told Brother Zach and I told the jail people, I said, well, you know, at least rock and roll hides it in their lyrics and their beat and all that screaming junk. I said, country and western just throws it right in the middle. Yeah. Well, I lost my wife, my two kids to the blonde at the bar. I lost my house, I lost my dog, and I lost my old car. Yeah. They put it all right there. Hey, I want to tell you today, we need to pay attention to what we listen to. Not everything that says Christian music is godly music. Amen. Not everything that, I mean, is popular down the road and popular at these youth conferences, amen, should be popular to your relationship with God. I'm sorry. I can't buy somebody on the stage that is hopping with a guitar. Amen. And all these flashing lights and fog and all this junk. Amen. We don't have to have that. We need to keep it simple to stay in the presence of the Almighty God. Woo. I love it. I love it. Amen. Brother Neil, I was with Brother Neil and Sister Lauren this week at Texas Bible College. And Brother Story, it was Pastor Appreciation. Brother Story preached. And right before he preached, he sung, "Well, the mighty God is Jesus." And the brother in front of me stepped back like he said, "Brother Crosswhite, why ain't they jumping? Why are they rushing in front of the church now?" Amen. I'm glad we still can worship God. Amen. Hear and understand. Amen. Oh, we don't have to get jived. Amen. We don't have to just get everybody pumped up. Why don't we just let the flow of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Why don't we have the power of God? So I don't want anything to master my life. Ask, will it master me? Amen. Because there's a lot of music you listen to that are same at a rock concert, country western music hall. Even country gospel sometimes could get, sound like old whiskey drinking music. Yeah, so we got to be careful. The next thing, a scripture guideline, is a temple test. The Bible says, know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. Only items that do not hurt the body, mind, soul, and spirit shall pass this test. So if it's unclean or something that would damage my body or my temple, I'm not going to do it. Okay, the next one is the stumbling block test. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to be offended, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. In other words, Paul said, as part of Christ's body, we have an obligation to grow with each other. Paul tells us that any practice or habit that would hinder the growth of a brother or a sister should be avoided. I want to harmonize my brothers and sisters. If I know it offends Sister Ricky for me to eat sardines, I'm not going to eat them. I want to be mindful, my brothers and sisters. Somebody say amen. if my brother or sister has a conviction against something, if they have a strong conviction. For example, where I grew up in Louisiana, my pastor thought it was okay to play Uno. But my mama's pastor and my grandparents, if you had any kind of cards, it was wrong. So when we were around them, we didn't play Uno. We didn't even play Monopoly because they had dice in it. They would use a spinner. It was the same thing, but so we got to be conscious. Not everybody's going to have the same view of everything, but if it pleases God, I want to stay balanced with my brothers and sisters. Everybody say amen? The next thing, the soul winning test. Beyond our responsibility to each other, we have a responsibility to win the lost. So we can't be involved in anything that hinders our outreach, our witness, our testimony. So I want to see if it passed the soul winning test. The next one, the glorification test. Any area of our life that inhibits our ability to glorify God, if it's wrong, I want to not do it. The next one is the benefit test. There are many things that are morally neutral, may not be beneficial or expedient in any other way. In other words, there's some weights. Things that may not be a sin, but they could weigh you down to where you're just not productive. If you work all the time, all the time, all the time, you quit coming to the house of God and you're too busy doing your business, it's nothing wrong. Sometimes you got to work. You got to work some overtime. But if you start doing it all the time, missing church, missing church, missing church. Amen. Oh, there's times we go on vacations. There's things. Man, I'm a pastor that wants their people, amen, to enjoy the things of life. But God's still number one. The house of God is still number one. There's some things that may not be a sin, but they can become a weight. They become something that causes you to be loaded down. Amen. Too busy. Don't ever get too busy for God. The next thing is the association test. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Something may be innocent, but actually has the appearance of evil. The association of form and not just the substance should be considered. In other words, if it causes me to be associated with anything that has an appearance of sin, I want to remove myself from it. I want to be an example in word, deed, and conversation. So the test of your testimony. So in morally uncertain areas, there's 7 New Testament guidelines that form the test. And I'm going to go over it again. The bottom of that page. Will this issue control me? Will this issue hurt my body? Will this issue cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble? Will this issue hurt me in reaching other people? Will this issue distract me from glorifying God? Will this issue benefit me? Will this issue associate me with evil? Ask yourself those things. Go through these tests. Go through these things. And on the back, the last page, the next one is scripture conviction. Brother Coon, this is where today I thought about you. The third area where God leads Christians into holiness is a personal conviction. Man, I love when people have personal convictions. God is, of course, not the author of confusion. He will not lead people into convictions that violate his word. Hear me? Consistency and balance are basic principles of scriptural holiness. It is not extreme, fanatical, or unreasonable when God begins to convict. Holiness, again, is beautiful and balanced. But personal conviction, amen, there's some personal conviction I have that I just can't do. There's things I just cannot participate. It may be okay for somebody else, but I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for personal conviction. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to have that. In Romans 14, Paul outlines a few points concerning personal conviction. I want you to catch this. Letter A. We should not judge others, those whose conviction are more stringent than ours. Don't judge them because they have a deeper conviction. Don't say, wow, look at them. Wow, they're doing that. You just thank God. God requires more of them. Next thing, Whatever the convictions are, they must be unto the Lord. Not to make us bigger and better than anybody. It's for God. Let us see. We must be true to the convictions we develop as to the Lord. In violating our conditions, we sin. Do you know when God gives a personal conviction, anytime you cross the line of that personal conviction, you sin. It may not be anything wrong for certain things, but if God convicts me of it, for me, if I did it, it would be wrong. That's right. So personal convictions, you can't violate. And in conclusion, the Bible says we are to be the salt of the earth. Basically, salt was a moral disinfectant in a world where moral standards are low, constantly changing, or non-existent. God has called us to be the salt, to preserve. We must be in contact with the world, but not conform to the world. Hear me. Salt is a highly stable compound. In a science, you'll find that salt is always shown to never lose its saltiness or power to prevent decay. The only way in Bible times where they had no refineries, the only way for salt to lose its savor was when it's mixed with impurities and then is rendered as useless. It looked like salt, but it did not act like salt. The desire to blend in with the world has caused many modern churches to lose their penetrating power, their preserving power. Amen. To mix a metaphor, Moody said this, the place for the ship is in the seas. But God help the ship if the sea gets in it. God wants an impacting and effective church. The way to corrupt a ship is when the sea gets in the ship and stays in the ship. The ship begins to rot. The thing that it floated on begins to cause it to lose its buoyancy and its abilities. I want to tell the church of the living God today. God wants you to be that one, amen, that would raise that standard high and be thankful for his grace and mercy that leads us. Amen. You ought to be thankful tonight that he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he chose you to be a peculiar people, a separate people, a holy nation, to declare him in this hour. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, we're able to worship God in the beauty of holiness. I feel the anointing of God in this place right now. Won't you lift your hands and lift your voice? Come on, lift that voice tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's let the Holy Ghost minister. I feel the evidence of the Holy Ghost right now. The approval. See, there's the evidence. When we start talking about being separate and holy, even the Holy Ghost starts working right now. The anointing of God is in this place right now. The proof and the evidence of the King. Hallelujah. Lord, let your spirit right now minister. Come on, you need a refreshing right now. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Amen. And begin to worship the Lord. I praise you, Lord, because you're the one that comes in. You're the one that transforms me. You're the one that changes my life. Hallelujah. Ramadio Robokaba Isala. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, men. I need the men of the church to lift their voice right now. Come on, lift your voice, men of God. Hallelujah. Come on, soldiers of God. Come on, sisters of the King, daughters of Zion. Would you lift your voice to the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. I want to be what you call me to be. I want to please you, Lord. Lead me in your path of righteousness. Lead me in that holy place beyond the veil. Lead me, oh God, my home. Lead me into that anointing. Lead me in that place of joy. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, won't you lift your hands and let the Holy Ghost, come on, let God identify with you right now. Let the power of his identification tonight even impact you, Lord. I want it to burn in me, Lord Jesus. Burn in me, burn in me, burn in me, burn in me.
Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. My Jesus, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Rino robokama da esalaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Holy Ghost bathe your soul right now. Come on, God is bathing us right now in the Holy Ghost. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 In this place right now, the Lord has sent His Spirit. Not only the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of joy tonight. I feel in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 There's a renewing of the Holy Ghost for us right now in the Spirit. Even the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of joy is in this place right now. Amen. I want you to let the Holy Ghost flow. Come on, God's ministering. Amen. The Lord is healing. God is working right now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let the Holy Ghost operate in your life right now. Let the victory of the Lord come in you. Amen. I'm telling somebody tonight in the Spirit, amen, there's a victory for you tonight in the house of God. Amen. There's a joyful victory that's come. Amen. Right now. Amen. It's not coming. It's in this house right now. Amen. That fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, receive what God's doing right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you lift your hearts right now? Open your hearts and receive. Amen. Somebody just get a hold of it right now. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost pouring out something in a victory manner right now. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your voice to the Lord now. Hallelujah. Respond to His presence. Respond to His working. Respond to Him right now.
have brought you to this place to renew you. I've come also to give you that strength. And now I speak a word that there is no condemnation to those that follow my to renew myself. You've heard me tonight and you've opened your heart. Treasure you've opened to me. I renew.
Hallelujah. Would somebody let the Holy Ghost renew your mind right now? Hallelujah. Let God rededicate you in his presence. Hallelujah. Somebody just say yes to the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God's come for you tonight. He's come to love you, to wash you, to purge you. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Savior, Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, have you crowned God yet in this service? Have you given the Lord that crown of adoration and love? I love you. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you, Jesus. I love you. Come on, love him back for what he's done for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be honored, my King. Be honored, my King. Be honored, my King. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The truth wants to lead us into victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you today, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Amen. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when the Lord impresses a pastor to teach and check those fence posts and check those wires, it means something's important. It ain't just pastor trying to conform a bunch of people, but it's just, see, they're the evidence of the Holy Ghost tonight. Begins to prove that God is interested in us. But he loves you. He wants you to be victorious. And he wants you to have a strong resistance against condemnation. Well, in the enemy, he likes to use condemnation to confuse you. But God's not the author of condemnation. He's the author of conviction. I don't condemn. He convicts his people. He can condemn sin, but he convicts us to better us and shape us and love us. Amen. I feel the love of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. Conviction will cause you to throw things away, quit doing things. Conviction, you won't have no problem. You know, my old pastor used to say, a dead man, you can twist his nose. You can pull his ear. Dead man, it don't bother him at all. And when you're dead to self, you crucify the flesh. God is able to work on you. Amen. It's a joy to say, God, whatever you have, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you. I love my church family. Amen. Praise God. Before we dismiss, amen. Would you pray with somebody next to you? Amen. And ask God's blessing on their lives and their home. Lord, we thank you. We praise your beautiful name. Lord, bless them. Lord, their home, their lives, Jesus. Shaping us. Sharpen us and help us, Lord God, I pray, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you're doing in my life, Lord. Thank you for the way you're doing it, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, would you bless the Lord? I bless you tonight, God, for all you've done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We want to grow to heaven, how?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you tonight, church. Amen. If you need another one of these, there's several right here. Amen. You're welcome to have them. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.